Okay, it's been a while since we heard that. Hello, Dr. Ross Walker, how are you?
Well, I'm all the better for hearing your magnificent voice back on air, my friend.
Thank you, mate. Yeah, it's been a while. And right back at you. How have you been?
Just too busy, but otherwise great. Just working hard, that's all.
Can I start with a question from Daisy, who's sent this in today, knowing that I was going to be talking to you. She said, if it's not too late, can you ask Dr. Ross, does he know how long a melanoma is growing under the skin before showing its colour on the top of the skin?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question where I can't give a specific answer. What I can say to Daisy is that on average it takes one cancer cell, whether it's melanoma, lung cancer, breast cancer, it doesn't matter, one cancer cell on average 9 years to become a 2-centimetre tumour, and then within 6 months it doubles, it goes to 2 kilos worth of tumour. So the tumour doubling time is just extraordinary. So if you think about that, cancers start typically around 9 years before they're even manifest as a tumour. So I'm thinking under the skin, for example, we know that even a really bad bout of sunburn as a child can set you up for melanoma maybe 20, 30 years later. So when you hear of a 20-year-old getting melanoma, you think, oh, how could that happen? It could have been from a bad bout of sunburn they had as a 5-year-old.
Crikey. You just got to be so careful. That's why, I mean, we slip, slop, slap, that's the, and whatever else these days, you've got to cover up, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. But the interesting thing about that, when you're talking about melanoma in particular, there's also a link between low vitamin D levels and melanoma. Where do you get vitamin D from? The sun. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. So it's important for all of us to have good vitamin D levels. And one of the things I say all the time is that there's a strong link between low vitamin D levels and osteoporosis, heart disease, cancer, multiple sclerosis, type 2 diabetes, depression, asthma, and also COVID with a vitamin D level of around 100, much lower rates of COVID, COVID complications, COVID death. So vitamin D is important, but it's the dose of everything we get that's important as well. So I like people, if they're going to go out in the sun, go before 10 o'clock and after 3 o'clock. If they're out in the sun for other reasons during the burning times, really use the sunscreen.
Thomas says, which I thought was a timely question, it's for Dr. Ross. He said, we're now up to our fourth COVID vaccine and being told to have a flu shot as well. If we fill our bodies with all these vaccines, won't our own immune system stop working to help us fight these in the future, thus forever relying on vaccines for just about everything?
No, it doesn't work like that. In the old days, before we had vaccines, young children were dying from whooping cough, diphtheria, tetanus, all of those dreadful diseases. Then we started vaccinating, and it's my view that vaccination was the most important medical innovation of last century. There is no doubt about that. So, and it doesn't stop your immune system from working. That's the whole point of vaccines, is to make your immune system work better against the specific virus. So when you have a flu vaccine, wait a couple of weeks before you have the booster, because you don't want your immune system to have to say, hang on, I've got to deal with that. Just let it deal with one thing at a time. But it's not as if it's taking the place of your immune system. It's just making the immune system work to produce antibodies against that particular virus or bacteria or whatever the vaccination's for. As far as the fourth vaccine goes for COVID, I personally am waiting to see what happens with COVID. Now, at the moment, today we had just under 20,000 cases in New South Wales. We had about 12 deaths. We had no extra people going to ICU today. But people are still dying from COVID. COVID is still not a benign illness. But I like to make the point to everybody, during winter, 5% of hospital admissions are directly due to the common cold. 10% of pneumonias directly due to the common cold. We didn't hear at all 5 years ago, oh, there's been 50,000 cases today in New South Wales of the common cold. You know why? Because there was, and it still affected the very old, the very sick, or the very fat people to cause more serious illnesses, because a third of the common cold is a weak coronavirus. So it may be that this Omicron strain is highly contagious, which we can see that it is. That's why we're getting the 20,000 cases a day as opposed to, say, the 800 or 900 or 1,000 cases we were getting with Delta. But it doesn't seem to be as nasty as the initial strains of the coronavirus. So I'm hoping that we may see the coronavirus fizzle out over the next few months. Equally, we may see another variant spring up somewhere around the world, because there hasn't been a new variant since Omicron, since about October. People say, oh, what about this BA.2? It's just a sub-variant of Omicron. It's still Omicron. So we haven't seen a new variant, which we were seeing every few months for the first couple of years of the pandemic. So I'm trying to be optimistic. I hope it's going to fizzle out. Maybe I'm going to be wrong. We'll wait and see over the next month or so. But if I see by the end of April that we're still seeing increasing numbers of COVID, then I'll go off and have my fourth jab. And I personally would prefer AstraZeneca or Novavax. I'm just having a bit of a concerns with the RNA vaccines personally, and also with people getting them seeing subacute myocarditis, not the full-blown myocarditis where the heart doesn't pump properly, but a lot of people with chest pain, palpitations, dizziness after getting the RNA vaccines.
What about the flu vaccine and a combination of both the flu vaccine and the COVID-19 vaccine? Now, at the moment, there's not one vaccine that you can have, but are they saying that if you're having that fourth booster, you can go along to the, if you like, the pharmacy, we'll use that as an example, and you can have, I imagine, in one arm, you can have the COVID, and on the same day, you can have the flu. Is that right or wrong?
No, that's wrong. We're saying for people to have a two-week break between vaccines. We don't, for exactly what I said before, we don't want to overwhelm the immune system by saying, cope with this vaccine, cope with that vaccine. We just want to give one thing at a time to allow the immune system to focus on generating a response to that.
Are they working on a combined vaccine of both COVID and flu together?
Well, Moderna, and again, I've got a bit of a problem with RNA vaccines at the moment, but maybe they'll sort out the issues. Moderna are working on a combined triple vaccine for influenza, for coronavirus, and for a thing called respiratory syncytial virus, which is another virus that commonly causes bad lung problems.
Right. Let's talk about plastics. You wrote an interesting article about plastics. You say you're not old enough to remember, or you are old enough to remember.
Yeah.
When most of our food came, I'm similar age to you, so we're both old enough to remember when everything came in glasses and there was very little in plastics. Now it's the reverse, isn't it?
Yeah, go to the fridge. Find something that's not in plastic. You'll hardly see anything. I'd say well over 90% of our food is stored in containers that have some form of plastic with them. And the problem is we don't know what that's doing to our body. So this was a study out of Holland where they looked at 22 healthy young people and took blood samples, and interestingly, they used a metal syringe and a glass tube, so there wouldn't be any contamination from the plastics into the blood. And they found that 80% of the people tested had significant levels of a whole variety of plastics in their bloodstream that are commonly seen in the drink bottles that we use, the plastic bags that we carry food in, or in plastic containers that are containing food. So we're talking 80% of people have significant levels. A study done on babies where they looked at the feces of little babies found 10 times the rate of high-level plastics in their feces compared with adults, and this is typically in children that are fed with bottles, plastic bottles. Now, again, when we're feeding my children, my youngest was 30 the other day, so in those days there was no talk about plastics being a problem. We used to re-hit their plastic bottles all the time. What does that do? Leach all of these chemicals into the milk. And don't feel contented if it says BPA-free, BPA being bisphenol A, which is one of the nasty plastics, because it's just another form of BP, so it can be bisphenol S or bisphenol C or whatever, and that can do the same thing as a bisphenol A. So BPA-free doesn't give you any reassurance at all, in my view. Now, again, there's been a link between these high-level plastics and many conditions, for anything from things like infertility to behavioural abnormalities in kids, ADHD, autism, to neuroendocrine problems in adults with things like diabetes, metabolic syndrome, obesity, cardiovascular disease, and possibly even some links to cancer. Now, there's no studies at all saying there's a definite link between the amount of plastics you have and the amount of disease you have. They're just saying there has been a trend towards higher levels of these diseases in people who have higher exposure to plastics.
Of course, also, Ross, when you and I were babes, our mums weren't using microwaves to heat the bottle.
Yeah, and the point there, we're just boiling it in water, but that's we right. don't know what effect that has on the plastics as well. Now, the studies are just starting to be done on all of these things, but what we do know is that the more we get exposed to all these synthetic chemicals, and just go outside in the middle of a heavily polluted city and take a deep breath, you're taking in thousands of doses of microchemicals into your lungs anyhow. And some, you're not going to believe this, Brent, but there are some people that put this white stick in their mouth and suck the smoke in. Imagine doing that on top of breathing air that's already polluted. So there's all these chemicals we get exposed to from the moment we wake up in the morning to the moment we wake up the next morning. Chemicals that we wash our clothes in, that we wash our plates in, that we keep our food and fluid in. And these people who are sucking on these water bottles all day, where they reuse plastic bottles, over 500 chemicals have been found in these bottles when we do it. So I just think we've got to rethink the way we deal with all this stuff.
Do you think we're getting to the stage where everything old is new again and we'll revert back to having more things in glass?
Look, I'd like to think so, but the problem is I wrote a book about 20 years ago called Diets Don't Work. And one of the chapters in that book said, convenience is killing us. And I think the problem is human beings now just like their conveniences. It's just easy to do this stuff. It's much quicker, it's cheaper to do it, to put it all in plastic than it is. Glass is much more expensive to store things in. So people just are going to what's easiest. And often what's easiest or easier for you is not what's best for you.
I've got to take a break, but when we come back, I've got a question that someone has called in, and I thought we might address it this afternoon because sure. This is the first opportunity that I have had to talk about this. But I'll ask you the question and give you some thinking time.
Yep.
The question is, why is the age 52 dangerous to heart attacks? We're talking about, obviously, Shane Warne, but Kimberley Kitchen, of course, the politician, and also Dean Wallace, the former AFL. He had an episode. He didn't die, thankfully. But so the question is, why or is the age 52 dangerous for heart attacks?
Well, you can ask, why is the age 27 dangerous to rock stars?
Very true. So the age 52... The age 52, is it or isn't it dangerous for heart attacks? We'll ask that question of Dr. Ross when we return.